Welcome to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and Montana Public Radio News Director Sally Malk.
Well, Mike, it's no surprise that the campaign ads we're seeing now are much more pointed and critical, especially in the Senate race.
Oh, absolutely. We have Steve Daines, the Republican, John Walsh, Senator John Walsh, a Democrat, the leading candidates. You'd hardly know that they actually have primary opposition in the primary about a week and a half from now. They're just ignoring their primary opponents and just going after each other as though it's a general election. And we have new ads coming out, it seems, weekly or even more frequently than that, back and forth between these two campaigns.
Well, let's listen to an ad that Senator Walsh has out that tells a very personal story.
I'm John Walsh, and I approve this message.
I was raped when I was 14 years old. I know the pain it caused me. That's why it's so insulting that Congressman Steve Daines sponsored a bill to make abortion illegal for victims of sexual assault. He's even proposed making women criminals for having an abortion. Ultimately, I got the support I needed to live again. But if politicians like Congressman Daines have their way, other women will be left with no options at all.
And, Mike, there's a very powerful message in this ad and also very stiff criticism against Congressman Daines.
Yeah, what's going on here is he's obviously wants to point out one of the main differences between himself and Congressman Daines, and that's their views on abortion. And Congressman Daines believes that Roe v. Wade should be overturned, and he has said that he supports making abortion illegal except in cases where the mother's life is in danger. Whether that means he wants to make women criminals, I guess, is open to debate. He says not. But if abortion is illegal, who's the criminal? I don't know. But at any rate, it's a pretty powerful ad with a testimonial by someone who implies they had an abortion, but the campaign has not confirmed whether she did have an abortion or not, so we don't know. But that's certainly the implication. And Senator Walsh, of course, considers himself a pro-choice candidate.
Well, Congressman Daines also has a new ad featuring a different woman with a different but also very personal story.
My ex-husband would slap me to the point where my head would ring. He locked me in bathrooms. He would lock me in closets. He would strangle me till I almost passed out. The Violence Against Women Act is a crucial turning point for domestic violence victims in this country. And Steve Daines, making the vote for the Violence Against Women Act, says that he's willing to do what it takes to do the right thing. He stands for people. He stands for women. He stands for families. I am so thankful that there's men like Steve out there that actually stand up for women's rights and what is right. He's courageous.
I'm Steve Daines, and I approve this message.
And Mike, again, a very powerful personal story and clearly, again, aiming for the women's vote.
Yes, I believe that's the backstory here, is that both campaigns realize that the women's vote is going to be crucial in this election, and that on issues like domestic violence and abortion, I mean, these are the type of issues that can sway that vote one way or another. Let's talk about what's behind this ad by the Daines campaign. He's talking about the Violence Against Women Act, which passed Congress last year, and in the House, all Democrats voted for it. About 85 or so Republicans voted for it, including Steve Daines. About 100 and some Republicans voted against it. And this bill funds a lot of programs around the country that fight domestic violence and stalkers, et cetera. It also should be noted that while Daines did indeed vote for this bill, he voted against the budget deal late last year that funded the programs under the Violence Against Women Act. Of course, it funded a lot of other things, too, so you really can't say that he specifically voted against the funding for that program, but he did vote against the bill that did fund the programs.
Do you think, Mike, that these ads, both the one by Senator Walsh and by Congressman Daines, are a wash in terms of the effectiveness that they might have with an independent woman voter?
You know, that's a tough question for me to answer. I can't really read the minds of voters, but I think that Daines has done a very effective job of identifying voting blocks where that might go Democratic or traditionally go Democratic, and to try to mute that effect. Like, he's reached out to Indian tribes. Here he's reaching out to the women vote. So I think Daines has been very skillful in looking ahead at these groups of voters that traditionally go Democratic and trying to cut into that voting block.
Well, Chuck, in the Republican House primary, we're also seeing some ads on air, especially from Matt Rosendale, and that means he's got a lot of money to spend.
His campaign has a lot of money to spend, Sally, and most of the money is coming from Matt Rosendale. the latest FEC report, he threw in another $500,000 as a loan to his own campaign, and he'd earlier put in $500,000. So he's actually raised about $1.17 million, of which $1 million is his own money.
And he's spending it, for sure, as we said, on some ads. And then Corey Stapleton is another of the Republicans in that five-way Republican House primary who's got some ads on air and seems to be doing pretty well in the fundraising realm as well.
Yes, and he kicked in $200,000 as a loan to his campaign, which is the first loan he's made to his campaign. So, well, the reports were filed as of the 14th, so it's coming down to the last 5 weeks from when the reports ended. And now's the time you've got to make your case to the voters. And that's what we're seeing, a lot of ads and a lot of money going into the campaign finance reports.
Well, the presumed frontrunner, Ryan Zinke, has a new ad, but a similar message to his other ads. But let's listen to the latest one.
I'm a third-generation Montanan.
Ryan Zinke is the right conservative. Pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-energy development. The leader Montana can trust.
In the SEALs, we're taught to lead from the front and never quit until the job is done. Isn't that what we need in Washington right now?
Chuck, I doubt there's anyone who doesn't know by now that Ryan Zinke was a Navy SEAL.
This is the theme he's hit from the start of the campaign, and who knows if it'll be successful or not. He hasn't really talked much about issues in the ad as much as he's talked about being a SEAL, although in this ad he does say that he's pro-life, pro-gun, and the like.
Pro-energy.
Pro-energy. It happens at the same time as he's being hit hard by a couple of former Republican State Party chairs. One of them is Rick Hill, former congressman. One is Ken Miller, a former state senator. The other is John Brennan, a current state senator. They're, particularly Hill and Miller, through social media and email, are really just hammering the heck out of Zinke. And to date, he hasn't responded. He's said throughout the campaign that he is following Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, which is thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. And he hasn't. And we'll see if that works or not.
Well, Mike, the other big political headline this week was the filing of a lawsuit to overturn Montana's ban on same-sex marriage. And Governor Steve Bullock and the state Democratic Party were quick to come out in support of overturning that ban. House Democratic candidate John Lewis also. But the other political candidates have been pretty silent about this.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing much of anything from the Republican candidates, or for that matter, from Senator John Walsh, the Democrat. He may have sent something out. I just haven't seen it, or like I said, don't recall it. I also think this is quite the contrast from 10 years ago when this thing was on the ballot, the constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, when I'd say most Democrats, if not all Democrats, running for statewide office were supporting the ban or not denouncing it. It just shows you how much the dynamic on that issue has changed just in 10 short years.
And I think it's just as telling that many of the Republican congressional candidates have not come out and said, oh, no, no, you shouldn't overturn the ban. They may yet, but they haven't yet.
Not really. Like I said, the silence from that side has been remarkable.
Well, Chuck, push is coming to shove in the primary campaign season, but I'm still getting people asking me, who is so-and-so and what do they stand for? And I think it's just a fact, isn't it, that voters just don't get very excited about primary elections, especially in an off-presidential year.
That's definitely the case. And particularly in primaries where you have a number of candidates running, like the House Republican primary, five candidates, four of them have served in the state legislature, but I suspect most of them weren't well known outside of their legislative districts going into the campaign. And of course, that's why they're advertising some way more than others. But primary turnouts are usually much lower than general election turnouts, and I think this will be no different. The Senate race is definitely the driver in this primary. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, we'll keep paying attention, and we'll meet again next week to talk about it on the eve of the primary. Chuck and Mike, thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and Montana Public Radio News Director Sally Mock. We hope you'll join us next week for another discussion of the week's political news.